want to come this morning to present ourselves before you. We want to hear your voice. We want to feel the unction of your spirit.
Amen.
We want to know the relevance of truth that will facilitate us in overcoming this body and this mind of flesh. Father, we are called. We are elected. And Father, there is a word that has been and is being delivered unto us. Father, let us not hear it with natural ears or perceive it with a natural mind. But let us hear it by the Spirit of God. For it says, the letter killeth and the Spirit quickeneth life. So Father, we want to have the quickening of the life. We are in need of the quickening of the life. So Father, we are asking you, by virtue of your grace and by virtue of your will, for you have called us together, you have gathered us unto this place, Father, that we might be that we might hear and receive the strength and the vitality of God to overcome.
Amen.
So, Father, I ask that you have control over my mind, control over my emotions, control over my desires. Father, let them be your thoughts, your hope, your position, your place, Father, that you desire for us. And that thy will might be submitted totally and wholly to that persuasion. Lord, I pray for the ears of the hearers.
Yes.
We have heard so much, my God. We have heard so much that sometimes it seems we are dull of hearing. Not that we do not hear the words, but we do not grasp the reality of God in them. Father, let it not slip through our fingers today.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good to see you all this morning. I'm sure that the Lord is with us and that he will continue to lead us in our endeavor to know more about him. If you have your Bibles, you can turn them to Genesis chapter 25. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning about the destiny of man. It can be kind of complicated sometimes. I think the complication is what we add to it in addition to what it is God wants or what it is. But nevertheless, hopefully God will help us in our endeavor to know the reality of it. And this is the story of the birth of Esau and Jacob. Hallelujah. I have been waiting on the Lord these last few days, just really pressing him to hear his mind, to hear his voice. And I trust that as we get into the scriptures, God will reveal the revelation of understanding. I'm going to start here at verse 21. And it says that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. I want to stop right there for a moment. I hope it's only for a moment. You can look at the scriptures from a natural perspective, but I'd rather look at them from the spiritual perspective, because that is the reality of the natural perspective. There is one thing that we have to understand. We call the assembling of ourselves together under one thought or concept of, let me use the word theology for lack of a better word, and we call that church. However, God does not look at us per se as a church. The term church came from a Greek word, which means those that are called out. praise the Lord, called out of sin, called out of humanity, called out of bondage, called out of death and desolation, to become, as it were, subject to God and His desire for what it is that He is looking and wanting in us as a people. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We have over a period of time kind of lost that spiritual reality by calling it church. Because in our mind, a church is a particular group of people who meet in a particular time at a particular place for a particular purpose. And we have so many of those, and all of them are called church. Doesn't really make any difference if none of them are really the totality of what it is that God wants. We still call it church, and thereby we miss the reality of the concept of what is in God's mind. Because in God's mind, He is not looking for a group of people who assemble themselves together and call themselves church. He is looking for a bride. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. If you turn over into Revelations, you will find many references to the bride of Christ. You will find it that you'll see it in Revelations chapter 12. I'm not going into all of that. It's very well substantiated in the scripture that God is not looking for a church per se. He's looking for a bride. And the difference of it is significant. Because as a church, you can do whatever you want to do. And call it God. However, if the church does not have the destiny, does not have the position or the place at the end of the day as to where it is God wants it to be, and it's just a church that is moving under the auspices of some religious theology that is not pertinent to God's business. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
One of the things that we have to understand about God is that He is single of eye, hallelujah, and He has one objective. He doesn't have many objectives, He has one objective. We as a church can have many objectives, hallelujah. We want to make people's lives better. We want to be sure that people do not go to hell, they go to heaven. I hope that is what we hope. We are involved in different things. Many of us are compassionate. We are giving people. We are involved in certain works and exercises that help other people. We tithe our money. Hopefully you do. As unto the Lord, for the purpose of propagating your church. Hallelujah. All of those things may be for a good cause, but if in the doing of them, the goal that you have is not the, is if the, in the doing of them, the goal that you have is not the same goal as God has, then your works are superfluous. Hello? Hallelujah. Maybe it's kind of hard for you to understand or comprehend, or for us to understand or comprehend, that if you are not fulfilling the expectation of God, then in all of that doing, it's of no value to God in accomplishing what it is He wants done. Mm. Hallelujah. Let me put it to you this way. I don't know, maybe you have heard this analogy before, but if you have a job that you want to have done, and in your mind, you know what the job is. You come and you hire somebody, and you want them to take all of these chairs that are in this room and move them to another location in the building. And I'm going to pay you a certain amount of money for you to take those chairs and move them to the other side of the building. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The terms of the contract are quite quite defined as far as what it is you have to do in order to get the prize or the payment for doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you hire me to do that, and I move half the chairs. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just say you give me a period of time to do it. You've given me 1 week to move all of these chairs to the other side of the building in a particular location. And in that week's time, I only move half the chairs. Or, okay, I move all the chairs, but I don't put them in the location that you that I was told to put. Are you going to pay me?
Sure.
Huh? Are you going to pay me?
No.
Well, maybe you would. I don't know. But I wouldn't pay you. You did not fulfill the obligations of the contract. You did not fulfill the responsibility that was delegated to you by virtue of the agreement that we had. Now you're coming to ask me, what all does this have to do with you and God? Well, it has a lot to do with this, because we are in a contractual arrangement with God concerning what it is and the purpose that He has for you and I. Hallelujah. We are in a contractual agreement. Hallelujah. When we received the blood of Jesus Christ and became born again, we were not just saved.
Amen.
But we entered into a covenant. Hello? Jeremiah 31, chapter 31. You want to put it up there? Praise the Lord. What does it say? I will make a new covenant. Huh? Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 31:31. Hallelujah. And we want the 31st verse. Hallelujah. Says the day, behold, this shall, no, where is it? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant.
Amen.
Not an old covenant. Not a covenant that has been made before. Praise the Lord. But I am going to make a new covenant with what? What does it say?
With
the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Praise the Lord. Now, why house of Israel and house of Judah? Isn't Judah part of Israel? Huh? But yet there is a division, a separation in the aspect of how God views you and I as what we might call the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because Israel is talking about the total sum of all those who are born again. Praise the Lord.
Mm.
But Judah is very specific in that it is talking about those who are born again, but they are called out of the called out. What is it called? The
Ecclesia.
Of the Ecclesia. So, if you are eklektos, then you are a candidate to be under the shadow or under the covering of Judah. Now, what makes you eklektos and not ecclesia? What makes you that way? Is it by virtue of who you are when you are born again? Is it by virtue of the fact that you might be from the UK, or you might be from Nigeria, you might be from the United States? By what virtue do you move from Israel to Judah?
Choice.
By
your choices.
What's that?
By your choices.
Yes, but there's something you have to decide. What is it you're going to decide, and how are you going to decide it? It is peculiar and particular to a message that you hear.
Mm.
Hello? If I, now out here in the outer court, this is all outer court, and the outer court is evangelical, and it is Pentecostal. It is evangelical and it is Pentecostal. And unfortunately, many of us who consider ourselves holy place people or a holy place church, hallelujah, we are really not holy place church. We are either evangelical and Pentecostal, or one or the other. Hello? Hallelujah. Because, why do I say that? Well, this is this arena here, out here in the outer court. This is the, what do you call it, ecclesia? Is that ecclesia? Is that right? It's close enough. Hallelujah. The ecclesia. This is the ecclesia. If you're born again, you're part of the ecclesia. I'm not talking about spirit baptism yet, because it says, in order to see the kingdom of God,
you must be born again.
You must be born again. Praise the Lord. The altar, the brazen altar, is an altar that was designated and consecrated by one man. That man was Jesus Christ, and it was a doorway, that was given by which you and I might be able to move beyond that evangelical experience. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But what if I build a house around this thing? What if I build a house? You know, I was born again in the Southern Baptist Church. Hallelujah. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. My mother, and I didn't, it wasn't just a Baptist church. It was a Southern Baptist church of the Southern Baptist Convention. Hallelujah. And they were the Baptists of the Baptists. Hello. Hallelujah.
House in the
yes. Well, that was the original house. Then you get the Northern Baptist, you get the Free Will Baptist, you get the Anabaptist, which were the first Baptist, which supposedly came out of John the Baptist. Hallelujah. So what if I build a church over that? What if I build a building over that, and I call it a church? Now there are many born again believers in here, but What does this type of situation do? It segregates you. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about segregation, right? And the unfairness of it. Well, the biggest point of segregation, whether you're whatever color you may be, is not in the essence of the type you are as far as humanity is concerned. It is the religious order that has been imposed upon us as human beings. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, most of us have come through this theological maze. Now, what if I get the news, I get a revelation that I have to be that I can be born in the Spirit? What if I get that revelation? And what if I find that experience? What happens? Well, I stop being just an evangelical and I become a Pentecostal. Assemblies of God. United Pentecostal Church. Come on. What's some of the...
That's dangerous.
The four score. The four score. Four square. Because, you know, at one time they were Pentecostal. I don't know that they are now. But at one time they were Pentecostal. All of these churches, basically, in the Pentecostal realm, started in a place called Azusa Street in Southern California, by the way. Hallelujah. When there was a revival that came out and fell on the people. And if you ever get a hold of a book, I think it's out of print now, it's by a man called Bartholomew.
Bartholomew.
Yes.
He's back in Prince.
All right, that's his name. It's called Another Wave of Revival. And I believe he says in that book that revival lasted approximately 2 weeks. At the end of the 2 weeks, they begin to organize it and begin to formulate and solidify different denominations. Hallelujah. Now, that's all right if that is what you want and that is what there is, but God will not allow you or I to stay in that condition without bringing some sort of means by which you might be enlightened that there is something more out there for you. You remember the charismatic movement?
Yes.
Huh? God began to start in the Catholic Church, by the way. And God, people began to meet in little home fellowships, and God's Spirit was coming down and getting them saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And it went from the Catholic Church into the Evangelical Church. From the Evangelical Church, it went into the Pentecostal Church. Now, the Pentecostal Church said they already had the revelation of baptism, but what it was now bringing forth was a revelation of God's thought in God's heart of the fact that He wanted sons.
Amen. Amen.
And quite frankly, I don't know how we were so deceived. Because the Bible is very clear that we are to be sons of God. But we spiritualize it in some manner or fashion, in some way or another, in that we think at, in the aspect of what it is that we have the capability, we not only have the capability or the potential, but we are by virtue of inheritance going to receive it. Hello? Hallelujah. A good friend of mine one time says, there are no shirt-tail relatives in God.
What?
No shirt-tail relatives in God. You know what it means? It means somebody riding in on your shirt-tails, like your cousins or your uncles or your aunts or something, coming in because your father was or your mother was. There's no shirt-tail relatives in God. There are just sons.
There are no grandchildren.
Hello?
There are no grandchildren in God.
No, there are no. There are just sons. There are just sons. Sons. Do you hear me? So the objective of God is not necessarily the outer court. The outer court is a means to an end. Hello? Do you know the term? Do you know the term? Means to an end?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We look at it as an end, a means.
An end to a means.
An end to a means. That we have the reality of the revelation of salvation, and what we have is sufficient. And so we, in some manner or another, begin to relax in our position of life, relax in our position of the world, and in that relaxation, a spirit of compromise comes. Now, brethren, you and I may have the revelation of this church. Huh? We may have the revelation of this church, and this church is the eklos. Is that right?
Eklektos.
Eklektos. How do you spell it? E-L-E.
A-K.
Huh?
E-K.
Double
K.
E-K. E-double K.
E-double K.
2K.
2K.
Yes. E.
L-E. L-E?
Yes.
All right, that's what you call body ministry.
There's an L before the E. There's an L. Yeah, L.
No, from the beginning. It's wrong from the beginning.
Let her spell it. Hallelujah.
E-K-K-L.
Eklektos. Is it K or C?
That's okay. That we'll get the idea. If you have heard the word of salvation, of born again, you have heard the word of baptism in water, baptism in the Spirit, you have heard the word of baptism in fire. You've heard the word of going on to be sons. You begin to come from here to here to here. Huh? Into the holy place, church. Huh? Amen?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Is this some strange doctrine to you all? Hallelujah. You come from this place, to this place, right? What if now we... What if now we build a nice big house? Huh? Hallelujah. Now, these are objectives, these are stages of development, these are places that we have to come to, hallelujah, in order to come to here. This is where God wants us. He wants us in the Holy of Holies, and that we might be in union with God. Now we're talking about Revelation 12 now. You can go to it and look at it and read it. You have the moon church, outer court. You have the bride church, inner court. And she is pregnant with a man church, which is the sons of God. This is the objective that God had in the beginning. Now, this is not something that developed. You move back there because you want to get away from the... It is not because God desired just to be... God desired in the beginning to do a specific thing. Hello? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. The problem with all of these churches is that they have denominationalized... Wrong word. Denominationalize their theology. Hello? Hallelujah. So, if I'm here, right? And I am not going to go any farther, am I going to receive the thing that I am promised?
No.
If I'm here, am I going to see the thing that I promised?
No.
If I'm here... Hallelujah. Am I going to receive the thing that I promised? I'm promised. Am I going to get the prize? Paul says, I run as one who has what? Not yet obtained, but what?
Run to obtain.
Huh?
Run that I may win the prize.
But I he has every expectation of obtaining. Hello? And he's running for that high place, that high goal in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So this is the objective. Now, if I stop here, or there, I am out of the order of God. Hallelujah. And if I come to that realization, if I come to that point of recognition, I have one, I have two alternatives. I can repent, or I can turn back into my own world of theology. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is a picture of the current day operation of every aspect of the church that we are aware of or involved in. Praise the Lord. And all of us are in some aspect or another captured in one of these theological vacuums. Hallelujah. Now, for us, those who are of the eklotos, which is equals Judah. Judah. This all equals
Israel.
Huh? That all equals Israel. This equals Judah. Praise God. There is something I want to point out here, and this really deals us as a people, and it also deals with us in ministry as far as that is concerned. In this particular scripture, and it says and it says in verse 20, and Isaac entreated the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to use Isaac as a position of our place of ministry. Huh? And I'm not talking about ministry of this one, ministry of that one. It says that we are all kings and priests. This message of the kingdom of sons of God is not singular in its aspect of focus. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not singular in the aspect of focus. Hallelujah. It's not singular in the aspect of the focus of my position of personal salvation. Huh? Hallelujah. So there is a burden that I have to have if I am part of this eklektos. There is a burden that comes with this eklektos. A burden. Huh? And that burden is described as the wife of Isaac. Hello? Hallelujah. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Hallelujah. The ministry has to be in a position or in a place to where they see the overall view of God's plan, huh, concerning the people. And that they are in and in a position or place of relationship with God, that they are entreating God for the sake of his wife. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Please repeat that.
Huh?
That.
You want me to repeat that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. There is a burden that comes with the eklektos in that they have to be in a position or in a place that they are burdened for the church that is the prospective bride of Christ. Huh? Hallelujah. That she will bring forth.
Mm-hmm.
A little?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And I don't know that we collectively have that type of burden. Now, you may see that burden in specific cases of individuals. Huh? Hallelujah. And number one, the burden of that position of being in the bride company has to be with regards to our own position of relationship with God, that we might be impregnated with Christ.
Mm.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mm. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Mm.
Hallelujah. And in that respect, we also have a burden. I also have to have a burden that you also would find yourself in that position or place with God, hallelujah, huh? That you could be impregnated with Christ.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, perhaps we should go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see the verse 26. And what it said, what God said, is that I want to make an entity, I want to make a personality, I want to make an individual who is like unto myself.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's what he said. I didn't say it. It's not my theology. It's God's theology, God's church, God's hope, God's expectation. Romans chapter 8, verse somewhere there, toward the middle of the chapter, it says that the creation was not subjected willingly. Can we go there? Huh? It says that the creation was not subject willingly, but by reason of him who subjected what?
Verse 20.
Alright, for the creature, which is the creation as well as man, hello?
Mm.
Hallelujah. Was made subject to vanity. you have a interlinear there?
Yeah.
Please, would you please touch on that vanity? Huh? Boy. Morally depravity.
Mm.
Moral depravity.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was subjected to moral depravity. Go back to the verse, please. Verse 20.
Verse 20, go.
For the creature, the creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him. Now, who is the him? Huh? The him is God. God is the one who had the plan. God is the one who had the thought. God is the one who knew the means by which that thought, that plan, could be achieved. Amen. Hallelujah. And so therefore God allowed what was going on in the garden, hallelujah, to come about by for the purpose, he says, for him who has subjected the same in hope. Hallelujah. I don't know. Doesn't it seem strange that God would hope? It's to me, if he's Alpha, if he's Omega.
Where is he?
Huh? But hope means that you are not really sure of the outcome of it. Hallelujah. And the hope is contingent on the aspect of how he created man. He created man in a particular, peculiar way because that man had to utilize the aspect of his potential and his God-likeness to become like God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
He had the power of choice.
Hmm.
Go to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. Go to John chapter 1, and I want verse 12. Hallelujah. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. I want you to go to your interlinear and pinpoint on that word power. Hallelujah. And I hope it is as good as my dictionary is. It is force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, concretely, magistrate, superhuman, potentate, token of control, delegate, influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, strength. He gave him exousia.
Amen.
And you know what he gave him the exousia for?
Choice.
It wasn't for the purpose of healing somebody. Well, maybe so, by virtue of healing his own soul. Hallelujah. It wasn't for the sake of prosperity. It wasn't for the sake of supremacy. It was for the sake of the ability to make a choice.
Yes.
Now, it says he gave him power. Look at some of these words here. Potentate. Jurisdiction. Authority. Token of control. Mastery. Hello? Hallelujah. Those are words that would they be adjectives? Yes. They're the adjectives that describe a position of supreme authority.
Mm.
Hello? Go back to the verse. And he gave that supreme authority to you and I by virtue of his desire for us to be like him. Hallelujah. So, I have the power to choose. I have the power to become the sons of God. I become the sons of
Sons of God.
Sons of God. Even to them that believe. What if I do not assert my power? What if I give my power to someone else?
Then you're not becoming.
Huh? You know, a simple yes or no can determine your future. Hello? A simple yes or no can determine your future. And you know something? God will not violate it. Now, God may do things to try to get you to make the right decision. Hello? He may throw roadblocks in your way to keep you from going down a particular path, but He will not keep you from circumventing those roadblocks. Because you have the supreme position of authority that was given to Adam in the beginning. Go back to Genesis chapter 21, please. I'm giving you a Bible hopping opportunity. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to go to verse 28. Now remember, he says, unto them that believe on his name. Now brethren, name means nature. In Hebrew context, in Greek context, his name be nature. I have found some of the African names absolutely beautiful names. Because your names, you're always named, that means something. It has a connotation. Hallelujah. I met a sister in Ethiopia, and her name was Tahai. And that name means the glory of God. It's marvelous. You know, in comparison to my name, what does my name mean?
It doesn't mean
squat. Huh? Hallelujah. It got maybe one little word after that or something that is descriptive of it. But you got names like running the race or overcoming. There was a situation we had in Nigeria many years ago on one of our first trips, Brother Mark and I. We went to this little village, and not village, we went to this one city, and this woman, it's a long story and I want to shorten it down. At that time, the revelation was coming to you all who were in Nigeria about traditional marriage and all of those things, and certain ones were taking a stand and moving against that traditionalism. Praise the Lord. This was about 25 years ago, I guess, 28 years ago. We ran into this situation where this couple, they did not perform the traditional marriage, but they compromised with the father of the bride to pay a bride price. Hello?
Yeah.
And they could not pay. So what do you think happened?
They were under bondage.
Yeah, they were under bondage, but what do you think the result of that bondage? She became pregnant. Huh? What do you think the problem was? Because they couldn't pay the bride price. You don't want to say it. The father of the bride did a little did a little juju stuff. Hallelujah. And there was a spirit sent to collect the child. Oh, and the bride price.
Oh no.
Oh yes. Does that seem so strange to you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, we come in on this situation, and this is one of our first times in Africa.
I thought she was barren birth.
No, she wasn't. You diagnosed her. Yes, she did. Our friend Dr. Mark diagnosed her as a tubal pregnancy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Maybe it was.
It was, yes. Praise the Lord. I'm just refreshing your memory, sir. Hallelujah. And you know, well, I'm not a doctor, but you understand the ramifications to all of that. And I don't know that I've ever heard of a tubal pregnancy coming to a position or a place of completeness in delivering of a child. Has that ever happened?
No.
I don't think so. Hallelujah. So anyway, we knew nothing. We were so dumb. Spiritually dumb. Well, not Mark, just me. We were so spiritually ignorant. We didn't even know that these things went on in the hidden places, you know? We didn't understand it. But God, in His mercy, revealed it to us. And we found out there was other complications in it with the fellowship and the elders. And when we got that settled, we could deal with the issue with them. They repented, and we left. We prayed for the woman. We prayed for her child, and we left. Hallelujah. And it was, you know, time went by, you know, some they kind of got pushed to the back burner. One day I got a letter. And it was from that sister. And she wrote down and she says, I wanted to wait until we had the evidence and the validation of your prayers. And she had brought forth a very healthy baby girl.
Oh.
Hallelujah. And I met that girl about 16 years later on one of my trips to Africa into Nigeria. Hallelujah. But the fact that the name she called it was a name of victory over devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm quite happy about that name because that is the calling. That is the stamp of God's approval upon her. And I believe at the end of the day, no matter what her circumstances are, God will have preeminence in that woman's life.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if you have an African name, don't be afraid of it or ashamed of it. But also know that you also have a new name.
Amen.
So you can't be proud about that one either. Hallelujah. Because we all have new names. So anyway, we are to change. He says, and God bless them. Let's go. And God bless them. Hallelujah. Now, brethren, we have to understand the concept, the mechanics of God at His blessing. Now, we meet each other, we say hello, God bless you, and we leave, we say God bless you. And it is almost in some respects a cliche type of saying. We say it because why? We're Christian. That's why we say it sometimes. Some of you may have a greater revelation, but when God blesses, God isn't speaking a language in a verbalization of a word that is comparable to blessing. There is something that God comes out of God. There is something that comes. There's an energy. There's a source of life, and that life has the ability to develop. That energy, that life has an ability to create. And so when it says that God blessed them, God imparted the exousia. it had to be, because it is the power of creation.
Mm.
Look at the terminology. Look at the be fruitful. Now, brother, it's not in this lower realm of fruitfulness. We're talking about something in the spirit that many of us have no perception of what it means.
Oh,
hallelujah. And it says, be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we in the natural arena have very little understanding of the power of this ability right here to create. Huh? Hallelujah. James had a revelation. He says, how can... maybe we ought to find it. James said, I have an understanding. I have a revelation. Bitter water...
Huh? Bring forth sweet.
And sweet water cannot come out of the same fountain. Hallelujah. So, can we find that? Can we find that verse? I want to find that verse. Hallelujah. Because there is a power that our words have in the effect, and what it, as we speak them and as we release them into the inner, into the environment, because of the blessing that God blessed Adam with in the beginning, Adam and Eve. Hello. Have you ever seen two kids fighting? Sure you have. And one kid says to the other, "I hate you." Hallelujah. 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 Or in your conversation with somebody, you are talking about an individual that both of you really don't like too much. And you begin to be negative in your talking about them. Hello? Well, they're this and they're that and they do this and they're at that, blah, blah, blah. All these different negative aspects of their being. Hallelujah. Because of the mechanics of how it was that God created you and what He gave Adam in the beginning that you and I potentially inherited, that is in the seed of humanity, it has the power to defame, it has the power to destroy, it has the power to murder. Hallelujah. Alright, what did he say? Out of the same mouth proceedeth what? Blessings and curses. Click on that word, please. I want to know the Greek. What does the Greek say? Cursing. Well, it really doesn't give you... It doesn't really give you much... in that. But to curse something is to bring it to a place of damnation. Hello? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, you can go back. The Bible says that out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Why? Because of the potential of what it is that God gave Adam and Eve in the beginning to be like Him. Hallelujah. But something happened. Hallelujah. Now, let me say, before I go there, let me say, does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain yield salt water and fresh. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice to be fresh water or salt water. To be sweet water or bitter water. I have the choice. I have the position and the decision to make it. Now, if I make the right choice, hallelujah, then it does something in my soul to produce a nature that is contrary to the nature that is in me, or that I was born with in the natural. Hello? But if I make the wrong choice, I am also creating or strengthening now a nature in me, hallelujah, that is anti-Christ. Come on, you're looking at me so strange. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, okay, so we want to go and I want to go back to where I started. It was in Genesis. Hallelujah. And all of what I'm saying to you is on the basis of the part of the scripture that says Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Hallelujah. And the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. God always moves in a positive manner to a positive prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. What if Isaac had not entreated the Lord? Huh? What would have happened?
barren.
Barren, she would have remained barren. And, you know, Isaac could have complained about it to God all he wanted to complain about it. And Rebekah could rile upon Isaac that it was all his fault as much as she wanted to. Hallelujah. It would not have changed the circumstance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the fact of the matter is God gave Isaac more than he bargained for. Hallelujah. But it was all in the divine plan of God to illustrate and to demonstrate the reality of the struggle between the world and the church. The electus and the electos. Hallelujah. And it says here, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Praise God. How many times do we that get into some sort of difficulty, some sort of position or place of consternation and pressure, why is it that we do not take the time to go and inquire of the Lord? Mm. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes situations which I do not like is when I am pushed into a place to trust that I am being made to make a snap decision. Huh? I have found that every time I make one of those snap decisions, I make the wrong decision.
Oh dear.
And I don't care how important it is. And I have come to the point that if I have to make a snap decision, I will not make it unless I have the overbearing confidence that it is God. Because it takes time for God to get through this thick head. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. And I would rather miss something than get something that I did not bargain for and that I did not want. Hallelujah. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And of one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. And really, brethren, it's not talking about two people that are called Esau and Jacob. It is talking about a man that is called Adam, and the Adam of that is of the earth, earthy, and the Adam that is of the spirit, and a quickening spirit. They are two representatives of humanity and two destinations that humanity has.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And unfortunately, or fortunately, maybe you think it's unfortunate, I don't know, there are only two destinies that we have as Christians. Brethren, in God there is no middle class. Huh? We want a middle class. We don't want to be poor, right?
Okay.
And I hope we don't want to be filthy rich. We just want the what? The middle class. Hallelujah. There is no middle class in God. And there are two entities or two personalities that are very much aware of that. Much more so than you and I. And one of those personalities is God. Hallelujah. You have God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to do it the other way. God is going to be on this side. He's on the right side. Huh? Hallelujah. You have God over here. He's on the right side. Praise God. And you have God that is light. That's scriptural. Praise the Lord. And he wants sons. Praise the Lord. He wants a son, a corporate son. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And on this side, you have the devil. Huh?
Darkness.
Thank you. And he wants a son. Hello? Hello? On this side, it's sons of God. Oops. It's sons of God. On this side, it is sons of perdition. Paul refers to it, I believe, in one of the Thessalonians. He says, and that perditious spirit that already worketh. Hello? Hallelujah. And man, man has the supreme
choice
authority, asusia, to choose.
Mm-mm.
He can choose light, or he can choose supreme. Let me do it over here. Authority to choose to be perditious. Hello? Hallelujah. And the best example I can give you is that you all are probably familiar with your children. Hello? Mm-hmm. When you had children that were growing up, which we had lots of them, when you have children that are growing up, they are prone to be perditious. They're not prone to be saints. No amens?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Huh? What was that?
I said no snap amen.
No snap amen. Nobody wants to be guilty.
Yeah, you really want to think about it.
Okay, think about it all you want. Alright, you tell your child, alright, a child comes up here and he wants to play with my phone. I said, no, you can't play with that phone. That's my phone. The child looks at me. Looks at the phone. Looks at me. Looks at the phone. He wanders around to the back side of the chair. Looks back around at me. Huh? Walks around the chair. Looks back at me. Looks at the phone. Starts playing with the edge of the chair. Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
Huh? Or am I telling tales that maybe it was just my kids, right? Huh? Hallelujah. Or the child was told not to get in the cookie jar. Not to eat some candy before dinner or something. Right? Hallelujah. And he comes out and he's chewing something. Chewing something. And you say, what do you got in your mouth? And no food. And as he says nothing, a little crumb falls out. Huh? And the child just lied.
Yes.
Now, the child is finagling. He's being deceptive. He's all the time thinking, how can I get that phone and not get reprimanded for getting it? Hello? Hallelujah. And sometimes we as parents, we're guilty of fostering that attitude. We will tell the child not to do it, and then we walk off as though we think the child is a saint and he's going to obey. But he has a perditious spirit. The minute you're out of the room, he's after it. Hello? Hello?
Amen.
Or you tell the child no, and it throws a fit. Starts screaming. Ah! And the louder you scream, the more compromising you become. Especially if you're in a public place. You want to feed the child something or give the child something that will shut it up.
Hallelujah.
What is working? The pernicious nature of the child is controlling and controlling the authority in you to make the right, to make the wrong choice. Hello? Hallelujah. And believe you me, I have lots of experience with children. Hello? And none of them are born saints. Hello? They're born under the auspices and the power of the devil. The devil has control of their soul because of the sin of Adam. It is only by virtue of the light of God that I am able to redeem them. And I have to start redeeming them by disciplining them. Not in anger. Not in anger. If I am disciplining a child in anger, I am teaching the child how to be angry. And I am fostering a spirit of anger in the child.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was sitting in a meeting one day, and I saw this mom. She was talking to her kid and trying to get it to behave, and she just lost it. After about the third or fourth time, she just lost it. And she started wailing on the kid with her purse or something. Huh? Anyway, something was in her hand. She just began to wail on the kid with that. And I'm thinking, oh my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. One spirit passing down to another generation. Hallelujah. There was a place I was going, and I was going there on a regular basis, year after year after year. So I was seeing the children grow. Right? And there was this one particular woman. She had this child. And the child was always demanding this and up and down, running here, running over there, during the meeting, running over here. Have you ever seen those children?
Yeah, Joseph was one.
Huh? Running here, running there, running all over the meeting. Total, and causing all kinds of commotions. And she's not doing anything to discipline the child. She's not doing anything. The child's too small. He doesn't understand. She never taught her child to sit and listen. Hello? And as the years went by, the thing, I see it develop. I see it grow. Every time I come in, the child is bigger and more rowdy. And then one day I come into the meeting, and the child is much older, and when the meeting starts, he goes to sleep. I suppose that's the best way he can avoid the aspect of discipline. Hallelujah. And the mother was beside herself because he's going to sleep and not listening. And so she's hitting the child. Yes. Now it wasn't just a gentle wake up either. Hallelujah. And the aspect, it's all a matter of position of authority. It's a matter of moving under the auspice of authority in God concerning the instruction. Turn up a child in the way that it should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from that. You know, I had two grandchildren at 3 years old that were sitting in a meeting, a conference meeting. They were on their little blankets with us, and they were playing their things, and they were involved in all of that. But in the aspect of it, this meeting, Brother Dusil was preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. And you wouldn't think that they would be getting much, but they had, when the Bible was reading, we would pick them up and put them in our lap, and we'd open our Bibles, and we would take their little fingers, and we would point the words, you know, and we'd read them aloud as the verse was being read. Hallelujah. Do you know that in that meeting, both of those children came to know the Lord? They received the blood of Jesus Christ and were born again.
Amen.
And you know that they are still walking under the auspices of that experience.
Hallelujah.
3 years old.
Hallelujah.
Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't need discipline. That doesn't mean that they didn't need instruction. They needed as much instruction and discipline as any child would need. But you have the inside track.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And because we don't understand the mechanics of it, we do not. If I don't do something with regards to my authority and utilize it for which it is given to me, and that is to bring forth the nature of God, it is going to bring forth another nature.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. No decision is a decision.
Yes.
In spiritual economy, I'll just deal with it later. In spiritual economy, there is no... You made a decision at that moment, at that point in time. You made a decision. And the devil hears it, he takes it, and he runs with it. Mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have two natures. We have two aspects of destinies within inside of us. Hallelujah. And you know, really, being as it was God's purpose, and it being as it was in God's position or place of authority, that He did what He did to subject humanity, it is His responsibility to meet every man. Hello?
Amen.
It's His responsibility to meet every man. John chapter 1 says, this is the light that lighteth every man. And the light shineth into the darkness.
This is the true light.
Okay, well that one, we can start with that. And this is the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness it comprehended it not. Hallelujah. But I want the one.
Verse 9.
Yes. That was the true light which lighteth every... Some people, some men, some place, some geographical location. Hallelujah. It lighteth every man in the city and in the bush. You know, we were in India. How long ago, George? When was that Madras conference?
Early 90s.
Okay, early 90s. We were in India in the early 90s, and we had a conference in Madras at the YWCA. Hallelujah. And there was a bunch of pastors that were coming, and we were teaching them this word of God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. And we asked them for their testimonies. Not just one of them, but there were some, maybe two, maybe three, who had this marvelous testimony of having somebody meet them out in the bush.
Amen.
Huh? Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when he met this man out in the bush, the man began to give him the gospel of salvation. And the one man... It was told us that that man told him that he was going to that he would meet some strangers from a different place who would give them a greater revelation of the word, and he believed that we were those strangers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he was a drunkard, he was a Hindu, and he was out in the bush. Huh? Hallelujah. This is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let me tell you another little story which just happened. It was in Ethiopia, and my brother Jamal, he went up north by Gondor, which is up by the Sudan border in Ethiopia, for some meetings, and he was sharing this gospel of the kingdom up there, and he took a bus back home, and as he was riding on the bus, he was met a Coptic priest. Now this Coptic priest is head over 80 churches, and he is teaching somewhere around 500 new Coptic Christians to be Coptic priests. And he began to tell Jamal this strange story. He says, you know, last night I had a dream. And in the dream, he said, God came to me. And God said to him, I am going to send to you my servant Jamal. Called him by name. And he is going to explain to you the way of God more perfectly. And he said, because the way that you are walking is a walk in judgment.
And he was telling Jamal about this. I can imagine Jamal getting really excited about it. Jamal's a little guy, and he can sure get effervescent. Hallelujah. And he's not afraid to start preaching right on the bus to the Coptic priest. So the Coptic priest came down at the end of the day. The Coptic priest came down to Addis, and he spent 3 days in a hotel with Brother Fikri and Brother Jamal praying and fasting, and he got saved.
Amen.
So this is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Hallelujah. But that light has to be accepted or rejected.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Now, if I accept it, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am inducted. I am translated. Hallelujah. I am translated into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. To become a son of God. Hallelujah. There's a process I have to grow. There's a maturity. There's an action that has to be taken in order for me to come from a technon. There's an action that has to be, there's a personality that has to develop that takes me from technon
to Julius.
Technon is that infantile stage, but a Julius is a mature son.
Amen.
Julius is a son that is ready to take his position with the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as the firstborn as a company of the firstborn, he has a right to the position of authority that the Father would give to him. Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this man has the capability to do and to become that which God intends to him because of the mechanism of the quality of life that is inside of him, and by virtue of the nature that it has the power to create.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But what if this man, hallelujah, submits himself to a different spirit? Huh? My position of authority is on the basis of the virtue or the grace that God grants me to be one with Him. It is a co-sharing position. Romans, the 8th chapter. Huh? Give me the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. What does it say? Huh? It says that we will what? We will be joint.
And.
Come on, brethren. Don't you know the Bible? Hallelujah. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God.
And joint
heirs with Christ. Now, how can I be a joint heir with Christ? What, by what virtue of authority do I become a joint heir with Christ? It is by virtue of God's willingness to share that position. Huh? Oh, boy. It is, and in that place, I am able to communicate and flow and work with God, and He is able to utilize the power of life that is in me to produce more light.
Amen. Huh? Amen.
Hallelujah. And that light is a glorification of Him that He shares with me by virtue of His wanting to share it. Hello. What about over here? Huh? Hallelujah. What about over here? Remember that Adam was given a position of authority, of absolute authority. Hello? It says, and blessings he blessed them,
and commanded them to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to submit, to do it, and to have dominion.
Amen.
That means he was the man in charge.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. He was the man in charge. God was allowing him to have that position of supremacy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Without God, he could not have it. But with God, God was allowing him to have it. And God was now able to work through his capacity to create. Let me give you an example of it. It's found over in the second chapter. I believe it's over here, maybe third chapter. It came time for Adam. It became time for Adam to exercise his power of creation. Oh boy. Okay, where does it say, where is it, it begins to talk about, here it is. In the second chapter, hallelujah, in out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and he brought them unto Adam. They were yet in an uncompleted state. The mechanics of what they were there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank goodness. Listen, what? And God it said, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was no dictionary now of animal species. There was no thing called an elephant. There was no thing called a lion. There was no thing called an eagle. There was no thing called a hawk. It was in a form or in a fashion that was yet unidentifiable, because it had not yet the nature within it. Hallelujah. So when he brought them to see, hallelujah, to see what Adam would call them. Now, Adam had to have some sort of comprehension. Do you understand? There had to be some intuitive knowledge that he had in his relationship with God that gave him the ability to see the potentiality that was in the thing that God created.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And when Adam looked at that thing, he says, its name shall be lion.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the nature of that thing was created.
Oh, yes.
And the lion stood before Adam.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're talking about man with a living soul in a relationship with a living God.
Amen.
And the potential of that soul having the capacity to move in harmony with God's desire to produce and to bring forth something out of our imagination and out of our thought to become a real manifestation of something.
Amen.
In the real time. You talk about real time.
Hallelujah.
Listen, my God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know something? Man is the only thing that has that capacity
capacity to do and to move and to produce and to create.
That's right.
In that way, in that manner.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm.
So as I about what happens over here? Huh? What happens to that power of creation? Is it null and void?
No.
Huh? You know, it says that God's gifts are given
without repentance.
What does that mean? Huh? It means that God does not renege on his promise. God does not renege on his promise. Because you have it, he doesn't take it back because you didn't do what he wanted you to do. Huh? Hallelujah. So if I make the decision to choose darkness, huh? Hallelujah. What happens to me? Oh boy. What happens to you? What is the scriptural principle? Brethren. Hallelujah. Romans, the sixth chapter. Hallelujah. It says in the 11th verse, Romans 6, 11, likewise, reckon ye also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof.
Amen.
Neither yield your members.
Mm.
We're talking about the capacity to think. The mind in all of its potential and capability. We're talking about the emotional position. And the capability of those emotions to bring rage or laughter, love or hate.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It says, yield not your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your instruments, your members, as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Amen.
What is he saying? Huh? If I choose to submit to God, I am becoming an instrument of righteousness. As I yield my righteousness, I yield my members, my mind, my emotions, my desires, my will, as I yield those members to God, I begin to create light.
Amen.
I begin to produce light. Light begins to fill my being. Light begins to come out of my being. Light begins to inhabit my environment.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it says, you are the children of the light. Isn't that what the Bible says? Well, if light is my parents, and as a child, then I have the ability to radiate.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not talking about somebody out there in Yugoslavia. I'm not talking about somewhere. I'm talking about what you, as a Christian, that has the message of God that pertains to the desire and the intent of God to bring you to a position or a place or a destiny that is called the Son. Hallelujah. It's you that God is talking about. And it's your decision. It's your determination by the fact of what it is you desire and what it is you want to be. Hello? Hallelujah. But what if I decide I want darkness? What if I decide I want darkness?
No decision.
Hallelujah. It's not a position of equality on this side of the fence. Huh? It's not a position of equality on this side of the fence. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's equality on this side. You want equality?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
We're fighting for equality. Women are fighting for equality.
men are fighting to be equality or equal, more equal. And everybody wants more equality. They don't want to be equal. Ones want to be more equality and the other is equal. Hallelujah. And it's an insatiable appetite. No matter how equal you are, you want more.
Yes.
No matter how strong you are, you want to be stronger. No matter how much you have under your thumb, under your finger, you want more. And more is always the rule. More is always the determination. More is always the demand. Huh? Hallelujah. And over here, it's not a message of equality. It is a message of what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. It's true. That is, because you have yielded yourself, you have yielded your authority to a different nature.
A wicked nature.
You have yielded your nature. Don't you understand? You have become subservient. And because it's not a position of equality, it becomes a position of rulership. And you become the servant.
That's right.
Not by virtue of choice now, but by virtue of conquest. Because when you make that lie, you tell that little fib, you have yielded something of your soul to the devil.
Oh, Jesus.
When you have taken something that is not yours to take. And it doesn't matter if it's, it doesn't matter, brethren, if it's a car or a roll of toilet paper.
Yes. Yes.
He's looking at me. Huh? There is some aspect of your soul, some aspect of your authority, some aspect of your calling, your election.
That you're giving up.
There's some election of God's desire for you. You have sold it like Esau. You have sold it to feed an appetite. You have sold it to get some soulish satisfaction of superiority. Hallelujah. So I am in the business of creating. I can create good or I can create perdition. And you know the devil without me cannot do it. He is not created as you are created. He says we were created a little lower than the angel, but we were what? Huh? What were we? We what?
Crowned.
We were crowned. We were exalted above all of those princes and their polities. Hallelujah. And to be made joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. The devil wants to, the only way the devil has of fulfilling his desire to sit on the sides of the north. Is to inhabit a man.
Yeah, that's right.
Who has the potential to generate gross darkness. And the devil has been working down through 6,000 years of humanity, working on humanity to get it more dark, more wicked, more supremely positioned for wickedness that is so malignant we can't even understand it, so that he might inhabit that man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
No.
So, brethren, it's very simple. You choose darkness, you lose. Huh?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I came across something the other day. You know, God is a Trinity, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Hallelujah.
There's God the Father. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit,
And God says, we can be one. We can be one in this operation. Huh? You know there's an unholy trinity? Huh?
I think this is kind of humorous.
It's me,
myself, and
myself, and I. Huh? An unholy trinity that is filled with the devil. Huh? And you know, God is so merciful. He drove the, and if you don't think man cannot come to some sort of position of eternal supremacy in this condition, you are mistaken. Because in Genesis, he drove them from the garden because he said, lest they become
like us
and live in this state of malignant darkness forever. You know the devil was there listening.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, if that's a fact, then why can't I just take that, jump into him, and live in an eternal state of bliss under my position of supremacy?
Bruce!
Yes. Hallelujah. So, brother, we're not just fighting for ourselves. We're not just fighting for ourselves. We're not just fighting for our brethren. We are fighting for the whole of humanity. Huh? That the desire and the intent of the devil does not come to fruition.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what you've been called to do. That's what your eklektos is. But in order to have the eklektos, we must go to a place in God to complete the aspect of union and the overshadowing, and to come forth as that aspect of that body of Christ. Hallelujah. God bless you.